I want you to read the quote on the screen, if you would. It's from C.S. Lewis, who I'm kind of a fanboy of his. I like C.S. Lewis more than you like the Avengers, okay? Let me just put it in perspective for some of you. I think that's true. Really great moral teachers never do introduce new moralities. It's quacks and cranks who do that. The real job of every moral teacher is to keep on bringing us back time after time to the old simple principles which we are all so anxious not to see. I do not believe that the Bible is written in a fancy code, like this expert level scavenger hunt where God was like, I gave you truth, but I'm gonna make it really, really, really difficult for you to understand it. He's not. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us remember everything that Jesus said. He's given us a path, and this quote is especially true for us tonight. It really is. What I have for you tonight, the end of Moses' life, is about an old truth that's simple, that I think is one that a lot of times we're very anxious not to see, okay? So that's what I want to rally around tonight, this simple truth that comes out of Moses' life. If you remember, I mean, the beginning of the year is a long time ago, right? But we started off in Grace Leads. We talked about how God's love transforms us. If you weren't around for the fall, here's your year recap, okay? Buckle up. We started back talking with the series about Grace Leads and said God's love transforms us. That's the beginning point. Without that, nothing else matters because everything else is put in that context of God's forgiveness and grace transforming our hearts. And out of that flow all these different things. My love for his truth and wanting to live my life by the truth that God declares. My love for his voice, understanding that I have a personal relationship with the Father. He asked me to call him Abba, which means daddy. It's that close of a relationship that he has with me. That I'm connected to God's people. That when we follow Jesus, we're connected to the rest of the church. It's not a life of isolation. We don't have that choice. We're drawn into loving and serving and bringing healing to other people. It's larger than ourselves. That we fall in love with God's mission. His grace brings me in touch with his mission. Lost people matter to me. They matter to us because that's God's mission. So his heart becomes our heart. We went from there. We talked through this I Am series that actually included Moses. How God revealed himself through Scripture and ultimately in Jesus. And then we've been tracking Moses through this whole semester. We started in Genesis with God's promise to Abraham. And if you remember, I mean, this is all the way back to Moses being floated down the river in a basket and all these different miracles that have tracked through Moses' life this whole time. This really ordinary dude that God raised up and said, no, you're not. You're not. I'm going to do these amazing things through your life. And here's the thing that gets weird. If you're not ultra familiar with the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they don't track like one big story. They kind of break in weird places. So Leviticus, we talked for several weeks about the law. And Leviticus is, man, God just chooses not to move the story along in that moment. A lot of that is law. And tonight in Deuteronomy, when we get there, this is the end of Moses' life. We've gone from him as a baby in a basket to him dying. Tonight we'll talk about his death. But the book of Deuteronomy are Moses' final words, the whole book. It's not just a quick 30-second blip. He gets up and he says, all right, people of Israel. Because remember, I put this map up last week, but remember that they come out of Egypt. Most of the time that we've spent this semester, they've been down here around Mount Sinai. But just in the last 2 weeks, they have been in a 40-year road trip through the desert that should have taken 2 weeks, okay? 3 weeks tops. 2 to 3 million people all camping together in the desert for 40 years because they were disobedient, including Moses. And God said, you know what? My promise is still good, but it's for your children. This generation will die out, including you, Moses, before you see the promised land. So tonight, when they hit this area up north of Moab, that's where they're at. They're right there ready to cross into the promised land. Moses knows it. Everybody knows it. The time is getting close. And Moses says, I got some closing words. And those closing words are Deuteronomy. Okay? That's where this whole book pretty much comes from. Matter of fact, it's called the Second Law. And because in the book of Deuteronomy, you have the beginning of it, where Moses reminds them where they've come from, the miracles, all this miraculous stuff that God has done for them. He reminds them, maybe like first three chapters. Chapters 4 through maybe 11, I think, don't quote me on that. 4 through 11-ish, he has this lesson that he wants to teach them that he just hits again and again and again. That's most of what we're going to talk about tonight. The next 20-ish chapters are more law. He reminds them of the law he gave them before. He expands on it in some places. Remember, the generation that he's talked to did not watch them walk through the Red Sea. A lot of that generation has died out, and he's talking to a new generation. He's reminding them where they've come from. He's reminding them of the law. And then the end of it, he hands leadership off to Joshua in a really beautiful way. And then he dies in view of the promised land, knowing that God's going to come through on his promise. It's a really, really beautiful space. Words matter, right? But last words matter more, okay? If I told you right now, and I know this is a little bit morbid, so I'm sorry for the analogy, but if I told you right now, you got 60 seconds to live, call your mom, or call your dad, or call your sister, call somebody close to you, 60 seconds, this like you expire, you're done. Heaven is right there in that moment. So you've got that much time. Okay, this isn't a threat. I'm just telling you, that's the analogy, okay, that we're putting out there right now. If you knew that time was short, I've never been put in a situation. There are moments in my life, probably two or three moments, where I thought I was gonna die. Okay, I'm talking like fast moments though, like I think a car is gonna hit my car and then it didn't. So it's not like I had the moment to pick up the call and have last words. I've never had that moment of I might die. What do I say? So I don't know exactly what you would say, but I promise, I think I know anyway what you wouldn't say, right? Because you're not calling your dad and saying, Dad, I got 60 seconds, and you should know that my car's making a funny noise, and the belt's kind of squealing a little bit. I think the alternator, it might be the alternator, I don't know. We should probably get that checked out. You're not having that conversation, all right? You're not going to talk about how, hey, my insurance is coming due in a couple months, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay for it or not. Will your mom be able to kick in some money? You are not having those conversations, all right? Because death cuts at the pettiness of all of that stuff. Of course we have to have those conversations to live in this world. It happens all the time. We do them all the time. They're important. I'm not minimizing those. We need those conversations, all right? But you're not going to start writing a paper in that moment because there's no end to the paper. In that moment, the things that are real in our life look a little bit more like this: love, forgiveness, grace, concern. Those are the things that come pouring out of you, I hope, in that moment. Reconciling relationships, because we know there isn't any time. And when mortality's on the line, I mean, you heard, if you were here last week, you heard Lori, even when she got that diagnosis, and the diagnosis wasn't minutes, but it was months, he said, go home and get your affairs in order. And what that means is, go have those conversations with your family. Don't put off things that you shouldn't be putting off. You guys, what we're going to be looking at tonight, these are Moses' final words. We got the leader of Israel's people who's coming out, and he's one last time saying, you guys, this is my heart. He's leaning in close, and he's whispering to the Israelites. And a lot of the promises that he has for them, I really believe, are not always do those transfer cleanly as promises necessarily for us. Much of what Moses shares with them does tonight. And it's an old, simple truth that we're really all anxious not to see. I'm excited about where we're headed with that. So, in this second law, this book of Deuteronomy, in Bible study, when you're walking through Scripture, repetition is really important. When you see something repeated, you pay attention, okay? And you realize that the author is really trying to get his point across. And so I'm just going to tell you, without you going and doing a bunch of Bible study, which I would recommend anyway, feel free to just go and do it. But in those chapters 4 through 11 in Deuteronomy, you want to know the theme that you're going to be getting over and over again, like a bat to the head, is Moses writing to you in this. And it is this: hear and obey. Over and over and over again, there's this theme. And there's a promise attached to it, too, that I didn't write up there. But the promise is, if you listen and if you obey, there's life. Like, there's this promise that God will bless you and he will be with you. And all of his promises are true to you. Like, take this path. Moses is telling you. He's telling the Israelites, but he's telling us. Take this path. So, quickly, I'm going to prove it to you. Ready? They're not going to be on the screen. Deuteronomy 4:1. Now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations I'm about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live. Okay? So he already says, listen carefully here. Obey them so that you may live. Obey. So that you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. So there's that promise. Listen, obey. There's the promise. Deuteronomy 4:39 through 40. Remember this and keep it firmly in mind. There's the here and remember. The Lord is God, both in heaven and on earth. There is no other. If you obey, there's the obey. All the decrees and commands I'm giving you today, all will be well with you and your children. There's the promise. I'm giving you these instructions so you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God has given you for all time. Deuteronomy 5:1, Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, listen carefully, Israel, hear. Hear the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today so you may learn them and obey them. Deuteronomy 5:32, Moses told the people, you must be careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God following his instructions. I'm going to just skim here because there's so much of it. 6:1 through 3, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them. If you obey, you will enjoy a long life. He goes on in that one. Deuteronomy 7:12, listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them. The Lord your God will keep his covenant. There's the promise. Deuteronomy 8:6, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing. And Deuteronomy 11, I didn't even write down a third of the mentions in these seven chapters that Moses has again and again and again of to hear and to obey. He says it again and again. Like I said, it's not like you need a degree to pull that stuff out. It's like a bat to the head where he says, I need you to listen up. My last words to you, hear and obey, because there is a promise attached to it that God wants to pour out on you. Now, within that section of scripture, there's this really cool piece in Deuteronomy 6 that the Jews latched onto. The Jewish people latched onto this section of scripture. It became one of the most important passages in the Old Testament for them. It's called the Shema. You really need to say that because it's fun, all right? Give it a try. Shema. One more time now. Shema. Yeah, you almost feel Hebrew, don't you? It's like there's a little at the end of it, probably. I don't know, okay? But the Shema, it's this prayer that the Jewish people prayed morning and night, and it included a section of scripture in here out of Deuteronomy 6. I want to show it to you because it's the same thing. All the stuff that I read to you, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. That's how important these are. Wear it on your forehead as a reminder, for crying out loud. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's like, this is how big of a deal this is. Write it on your face. If you have to, Israel, that's how big of a deal this is. Hear and obey. But the Jews latched onto this as their prayer, the Shema. And they prayed it. And it represented all of those other chapters where Moses is really saying the same thing. Hear and obey. This word at the very beginning, listen, in the Hebrew, I need you to know as well, it carries a connotation that it doesn't usually to us. Because when I typically say the word, hey, listen, that just means, could you let the audio hit your ears? Like that's when we use the word hear or listen, it doesn't necessarily mean that it makes its way all the way in and then makes its way all the way out. But for in the Hebrew, that is what that word means. The word listen carries with it an understanding of obedience. It actually means to hear intelligently with an implication of obedience, you know? So it's kind of like you're in a roommate situation where your roommate's sitting watching TV and you're like, hey, it's your turn to do the dishes, and they say, okay, and like they don't break eye contact with the TV that's over here, and you're like, they might have heard me, maybe. I mean, I think that they did because they responded, but they did not hear you intelligently, and they certainly have no understanding of acting on the information that was just there, all right? This language is something different that says, I'm hearing it, I take it in, I process it, and it changes my behavior. All in that one word that sits there, okay? But if you're looking at this verse, you might actually recognize a piece of this that comes out of the Shema. Listen, O Israel. Again, this is just the beginning part of this Deuteronomy 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Does that ring a bell to you? These dying words of Moses that the Jews latched onto, that they had been repeating morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. And then a long time later, when Jesus is on the scene, we get this passage. They're firing questions at Jesus back and forth, and it's not working very well for them because he's pretty intelligent, okay? And I don't have it on the screen, but there's a section of scripture at the end of this whole passage where it says, and they decided not to ask him any more questions because it's not working. They're trying to trick him, and it's not working. But in this section in Mark, it says one of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to all the debate, these other questions that are going back and forth, and he realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. He doesn't skip a beat. That's a hard question. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Huh. Jesus, without skipping a beat, quotes the Shema right back to them. Here's the most important commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, if you're paying attention, you'll notice there's a really slight difference between those two passages. When Jesus quotes the Deuteronomy passage, he includes loving God with your mind, and yet that's not a part of what Moses wrote, which is really interesting, in my opinion. That might be a snoozer for you, but to me, that's like, aha, there is a different word there. Why? And what's really cool is, in the language that's there to the Hebrews, to the Hebrew people there, have you ever thought about this, that we attach the heart to emotion? Like, if I told you guys, if you said, hey, how you doing today? And I'm like, you know what? My heart's broken today. You would not, like, start doing compressions, all right? You would understand I'm talking about my emotions in that. But why we attach the emotion center to this, that's cultural. And that's been different in every culture, okay? And so that's unique to us. The Greeks were actually a little bit similar to that. But for some, they attach their emotions to their gut, which we do a little bit too. But to the Hebrews, the heart and the mind were both the same thing. They were both connected here. And so Jesus actually expands on this a little bit because the Greeks, this is not the same for the Greeks. So when they ask him this question and he unpacks Deuteronomy, he tweaks the language to be accurate to what Moses said. So when he expands it into heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, he's bringing in the same meaning that the Hebrews understood that before. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that what Moses was talking about is with your whole being, love the Lord. All of it, your emotions, who you are physically, who you are mentally, like all of it belongs to him. But without skipping a beat, that's what Jesus dives into. He quotes the Shema. If Moses in his dying speech is raising this thing up as the thing that you need to know, and you're like, really, Ben? Love God? Love people? This is what we're talking about tonight? It is. It is, because I think that if Moses is saying, I cannot give you a more important truth than this, and if people are walking up to Jesus and saying, what's the most important thing? And Jesus even responds in the book of Matthew. Mark doesn't say it, but Matthew says, Jesus says, all of the law, and we've unpacked a lot of the law, all of Leviticus, all of Deuteronomy, and all of the prophets, which we haven't even talked about, a significant portion of the Old Testament. He said, all of them are summed up in those two commands. So what Moses puts out there as his dying wish, Jesus affirms in the New Testament and says, yeah, let me actually hold that one up higher. It all hangs on that. If you mess everything else up, don't mess these up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Love people. It's not that hard. I mean, it's hard to do, but it's not that hard to know. God simplified the law for us. Love God. Love people. Tonight, what's cool is we have some people leaving us. And that's a beautiful thing because that's the way that it's supposed to be. As a campus ministry, there are people who come in every year and we get to commission people and send them out every year. And the commission is this. It's Moses' dying wish that you go and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you love other people as yourself. Our mission statement is to press Jesus deep in the hearts of students so the gospel will take root in every corner of the world. And we mean that. That there's this process with each other where we're like, let's push the gospel, God's love and his grace and forgiveness deeper into each other. And then wherever you go, it doesn't matter if you're going to Africa or if you're going to teach school in some little Illinois country town, the gospel will transform that area because of you, because of what God can do in you. Ordinary people that he can do ordinary stuff through when it's just surrendered to him on the altar. And so what we've asked, you guys can go ahead and come up, actually. I have you just kind of line up back here. If you are not going to be with us next year, if you're a senior and you're graduating, I know we had a bunch of you last night that were a part of a senior transitions night. We're going to ask you to, even if you weren't a part of last night, you're welcome to come up and be a part of this. But we ask them just very shortly to respond to this prompt. What does it look like for you to love God and love people while you're here? And how are you taking that with you? So we're going to have them line up. And they're actually all walking that direction, which is not the right direction, you guys, but that's okay. I'm just playing. But yeah, go ahead and make your way up here and line up, and we're going to let them be our visual aid tonight for what this passage looks like.